Bibles right up front here. So you're free to come up and have a Bible as a gift. The fourth and fifth grade in junior high, you're dismissed to your class. Your teachers will be in back. Thank you for being a part of our worship service. We should rejoice to think about these young ones being able to be taught God's word. So we have Bibles up front. We're going to turn over to Luke's Gospel, Luke's Gospel chapter 24. And we're going to go through Luke and be highlighting some various verses in this last chapter of Luke's Gospel. Luke chapter 24, we'd like to start in verse 1. And it says, "Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in, and they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus." And in verse 4 it says, "And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid, and they bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, 'Why do you seek the living amongst the dead? He's not here. He's risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day he will arise again.' And they remembered his words." Let's pray. Father, this morning, it is a joy to get together. You're here with us. You've given us your word and your Holy Spirit. You've given us, Lord, your love in our hearts, love for you, love for one another. And Lord, every one of us, we come here. There's no exceptions. We need you. We need to experience your love. We need to experience your saving grace and forgiveness. We need to experience your hope, your comfort, and your encouragement. And I know you're the faithful God. There isn't any needs here today that he would not want to meet today. Even now, we open our hearts and we believe you to accomplish your work now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So we're looking here at the title of this message, His Will for 2:14. And we're looking at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. But a question I want to ask, and one that I ask myself, is regarding His will, am I willing? Are you willing? So, for example, if you knew God's will, if God says, "Here's my will for your life," would you want to negotiate this will? In other words, maybe it's a little different. Maybe it's a little awkward. Maybe it's a little more demanding than you might have intentions. And yet, the question up front is, if the revelation of God's will was given to me today, right now, am I willing to move in that direction? You see, we'll see this morning about the condition of our hearts. Now, as we're looking into this chapter 24, I'm going to just briefly show you where we're headed. It's just like when you're a parent and you're driving in somewhere. Many times people want to know, where are we going? How are we getting there? When are we going to get there? So I'll give it to you up front. Number one is we're going to experience, or in 2014, my hope, our hope, is to experience a greater resurrected life of faith. This year, I want to, hopefully we want to, walk daily in fellowship with Jesus. I want to abide with a burning heart for his word. I want to, hopefully we want to, deliver the gospel message to the world. We want to live the spirit-filled life. We want to stay continually in worship, in prayer, and in service. This is my desire. Hopefully, it's God's desire for us. Hopefully, it's his desire for our fellowship and for his church. I took this right out of the Bible. So the first one is to experience a greater resurrected life of faith. And when we're looking at this, we go back to the text we just read. And in Luke 24, verse 6, it says, "He's not here." These would be the angels proclaiming, "He's not here. He's risen." And that is so true. was not that last song, or all of the songs were quite glorious and wonderful, but the song I can only imagine. Does it not lift your heart, your mind, your emotions to this eternal place of being with God and what it'll be like? We don't know. We can only imagine. But he's not here. He's risen. But Pastor, how does that help me? Well, many of you know our beloved Randy. That's Randy and Lola. And Lola is in the back. And I talked to Lola today and yesterday and asked permission to make sure it's okay to present, just the life of Randy and the life that they have shared together. This picture was really only taken a couple of weeks ago, I believe, a very short time ago. But on Christmas Day, Randy, as many of you know, went home to be with Jesus on Christmas Day. Just the last 3 days of his life, he was in hospice care or the hospice house. They have celebrated nearly 47 years of God's faithfulness. It's a testimony that they have. And it's one that they hold on to very strongly and very, very meaningful. And I must say why we were in the hospice house on Christmas Eve, prior to us having our Christmas Eve service here, we were able to meet there in his room. And there was a number of us that were around Randy. And we had the bread and we had the juice. We had communion together. Randy wasn't able to take it with us. He was right there. But we had communion. And when we were having communion together, it was mentioned by the group. It was mentioned to think about. We're having communion, thinking and remembering the body of Jesus Christ. And we knew that within a few hours, Randy would be taking off. And he would see Jesus face to face. He would see the body of Jesus Christ. He would be seeing the reason we're having communion, the evidence of his salvation. And it comforted our hearts to know that truth. On Christmas Day, right there with Lola in the room, it became silent. He was no longer breathing, and he had left. And the Bible tells us to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We believe that the scripture is very clear that our last breath here on earth would be our first breath there in heaven. There's no in-between place for every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the truth that we have. This is what we behold. We believe in a risen Savior. Amen. And if he's risen from the dead, we too shall be with him. And we believe this truth. And we can be as doctrinally correct as we need to be. But the reality of these scriptures never come alive as much as when you're with somebody who's on, as we said, the launch pad, nearing the finish line. And you hold dear to those scriptures. And they feed your soul and your heart. And you're not making it up. And it's real because Christ is risen from the dead. And if he's risen, so shall we. But he wants to help us every day to have a resurrected life. We'll see in a moment that scripture tells us that the very Spirit of God that lifted Christ is the same Spirit that lives within us to lift us up as life and its circumstances come our way. If we're not experiencing that resurrected power of Christ through his Holy Spirit in our life, we'll be crushed. You see, at the same time that we were ministering to Randy, I received a text, and the parents of a dear family of our fellowship were actually in a crisis situation, a life-threatening situation. And so we're able to pray, and God delivered them miraculously. But at the same time, my wife's dad, remember she gave a testimony a couple weeks about visiting her dad? About making sure of his testimony of faith in Christ, her and her brother. Well, he's airlifted from Roswell, New Mexico to Albuquerque to the airport because of his heart. He has a defibrillator and it went off 9 times. So when he's in the hospital 2 days ago, they communicate to us that they're going to detach the defibrillator because one more time of that would take his life. And his wife says she wanted me to speak to him first. And I says, Jack, again, repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I love you. I love you. Thank you for forgiving all my sins. Thank you for forgiving all my sins. I love you, Jack. He didn't repeat that. That's what I said to him. Because at the end of your life, you want to make sure that you are at peace with God. And you want to make sure that you're at peace with other people as well. And it's the peace of God that surpasses all understanding that guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And it's only the peace of God through Jesus Christ that we can proclaim this truth and believe it and hold on to it. Thankfully, her brother flew from Kauai overnight to Albuquerque and has driven him home, a four-hour drive home to Roswell. And we know that time is short. We're talking about life. We're talking about the reality of life and living for Christ. We're looking at somebody, Randy and Lola, and the great love that they have for our fellowship. Randy being an elder and a real encouragement to me personally. I tell you, the emptiness on our Monday night prayer meeting this last week was because we knew it was so close. And Saturday morning meeting with the men at our table, and we just felt the absence of Randy, yet excited about the reward of his faith in Christ. You see the scripture out of Romans 8, I spoke about it, but Romans 8:11 tells us, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the scripture continues, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. And it says, through his spirit who dwells in you. In a most practical way, I realize, I can't make it. I can't do it. Life demands too much. But we call it to God. And in and of our natural self, we can't contend. So we call out and we say, Lord Jesus, provide yourself and your strength. Lift me up, Lord. So as we're looking at these scriptures, the question is, how do you then experience a resurrected life of faith? I want to experience more of this year in 2:14. But how? Well, the scriptures tell us in verse 1 of chapter 24, very early. You say, well, wait a minute, Pastor. I'm not a morning person. Become one. And, you know, all I'm going to say is this. You know, you have to work it out. Our life as a believer is just a daily walk in life with the Lord. So it's not as though I put my morning time in and now I'm good to do whatever I want to do. It's a continual walk and a continual fellowship. But I must say, following the example of Jesus and following the training he had given to his disciples, I think morning, as you enter your day, it's a strategic time to lay it all before the Lord. To ask for his instructions and for his help and for his wisdom and for his strength and his clarity. Let him speak. And he'll speak to us through his word. I was sharing this scripture and I really wasn't familiar with this particular proverb. And it's Proverb chapter 8, verse 17. And I'll read it. And I just did not recall this particular proverb. But it really has ministered to me. Proverbs 8, verse 17, it says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. I want to seek God with greater diligence, and I want to start it early in the morning. Also, it says, why do you seek the living amongst the dead? What are you talking about, Pastor? Well, verse 5, it says that. So how does that help me, Pastor? How does this, you know, why do you seek the living amongst the dead? How's this going to help me experience a greater life of faith? How's that going to help me out? Where are you hanging out at? What are you putting into your mind and your heart? What are you doing? In other words, are you living amongst dead things? Are you living amongst media that is dark, songs that are dark, movies that are dark? Are you practicing dark things? You're living amongst the dead. We want to live in the light. Jesus Christ is the light. We've come into the light. So if we're not living in the light, if we're not walking in the light, we're walking amongst the dead. We don't want to do that. We want to avoid that. Also, notice in verse 8, and they remembered his word. Not only studying it, his word, but the more we can put his word in our heart, the better it will be for us. The more his word is in our hearts, it'll come quickly. If there's an inventory of scripture within our hearts and minds, the Spirit of God will take that at just the right time to minister to us or help us in our ministry to others. And then finally, in verse 11, we didn't read it, but their response is very interesting, and that is to these women. And their words seemed to them like idle tales. And the word idle tales in my Bible actually means silly nonsense. And they did not believe them. It's unfortunate, but we're living at a time where people think what's in God's word is silly nonsense. And it's not. For anyone not to believe, that is foolish. And to me, that's silly nonsense. And we need to believe God's word. We need to hold fast to God's word. Well, let's move on here. We want to walk daily in fellowship with Jesus. And it says in verse 15 of Luke 24, in verse 15, you'll notice, and so it was that while they conversed and they reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. How can we really experience his will this year in our life, the resurrected life, but Jesus drew near and was with them? I love that. In verse 25, we begin to explore, how then can we have this daily walk and fellowship with Jesus? In verse 25, it tells us, and then he said, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Isn't it interesting? Jesus is in our midst. Remember, after the resurrection, everybody was gathered around and Jesus showed up on the scene and they knew that he had risen from the dead. He presented himself alive. However, Thomas wasn't there. And Thomas was with his other disciples and his other friends. And he said, I'm not buying it. I'm not buying off on what you're saying. I'm not going to buy off unless I see him. And Thomas then saw Jesus just show up in the room. And Jesus showed Thomas the evidence of his crucifixion. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. I'm wondering, as Jesus sees our lives, he hears our words. The Bible tells us, listen, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And if we're living in unbelief, Jesus says that's a foolish place to be, that we've been given the word of God, the prophets of God have spoken to us. What else? Well, to know the biblical truth about Jesus. Verse 27 says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Would you not like to have been in that Bible study? He takes it from Genesis and goes all through the prophets, the Old Testament. He uses the whole Old Testament, Jesus does, to bring a revelation of who he is. He is God. He is the Messiah. He has fulfilled all the promises. Maybe he was right there in Genesis chapter 3 where it talks about, you know, the serpent and being able to crush the serpent. Or in Isaiah 53, the Messiah is portrayed. Or Psalms 22, whatever it is. Jesus gives this Bible study to them. A personal Bible study. Does that excite you? Would have you liked to have had a personal Bible study with Jesus? Can I suggest that maybe tomorrow, it's earlier than what you normally want to get up? You say, well, Pastor, I'm confused. Can I have a coffee before I, you know, study? I do.
I have more than one. So you want to quiet your heart and you want to be there. But might I suggest that Jesus does want to have a personal Bible study with you, and that study that Jesus wants to have with you and with me is no different than what he did on the road to Emmaus with these people. It's no different. He is the living God who dwells within us. And he is right there. And he takes such pleasure in us seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you, he says. We want to know the biblical truth about Jesus. We need more than any other time, in my opinion, to know the Bible and to know the Jesus of the Bible. We're going to move on here. And this is the abide with a burning heart for his word. And I love how they actually explain this. Look at in verse 32. You'll see, and they said to one another, Luke 24, verse 32, they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? And again, that happens. As we open up God's word, as we're reading God's word, there is a sense of a burning in our hearts. What happens is we know God's in control. God, you're in control. You just told me to cast my cares upon you. Lord, I've been just taking it all on. I need to give it to you. You do care for me. My heart burns. You love me. Your grace is there for me. You're going to see me through. When we look at this and examine it, how then? How? In verse 29, again, it reflects on, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is towards evening. They wanted Jesus to be with them. It's like when he rose from the dead. Remember the women? They tried just to grab a hold of him. You're not going now. We want you. We need you. You're with us. And that sense of diligence, that sense of love, that abiding relationship with God, abiding with Jesus. And then notice this in verse 30. And it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, he blessed it, and broke it and gave it to them. It seems to me, just in studying this and thinking about this, communion opened their eyes, opens my eyes, hopefully our eyes, to know him. Remember communion. Before we take communion, we're supposed to remember Christ. Remember what he's done. Remember he is alive. He's here to help us. I'd like to have, as we move into this new year, we're going to be starting, not this Wednesday, which is New Year's Day. The next Wednesday will be our first Wednesday night Bible study back. And it's our intention to go through the entire Bible in 2:14 using Wednesday night. So the way we'll do that is Wednesday night, I'll have 45 minutes to present Genesis, the entire 50 chapters. You could be praying and we'll continue to move on. And then we're also continuing our discipleship living like we're doing right now. So it's something different. I'll explain that in a minute. But how exciting. But still, on Wednesday, we need time for prayer, worship, and I'd like to have communion a part of every Wednesday night. I just feel reading this right now, if communion can open my heart up, my eyes up to know him all the more, I want to have communion. That's what it says. Notice here, it says the scriptures in verse 32. You can see it there. He opened up the scriptures and they said to one another, verse 32, did not our hearts burn within us? He talked to us as he opened the scriptures up. Opening up the word of God opens our heart to love him. And then finally, we'll see the crucifixion. And in verse 40, it says, and when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. I believe the crucifixion opens our life to serve him. When we see what somebody has done for us, that they've given their life for us, we want to do the same. We want to give our life for him. We're not going to give our life to gain something from God. We have everything. We're not opening up our lives to serve all the more to impress anybody else. Who are we going to impress? No one here is going to be impressed, okay? I mean, if the Lord is serving, we'll be blessed, but we're not making a statement to impress anybody.
We just want to be obedient to the Lord. As we move ahead, the fourth thing is to deliver the gospel message. That's what we're doing. Whether somebody's going to Ireland to do that, whether we're bringing it forth this way, whether we use the internet, whether it's somebody as Wayne in the Philippines who appreciates your prayers and all that you're doing to encourage him. We want to deliver the gospel message. The church, the body of Christ, is worldwide. Our parish is the world, okay? Our parish is the world. Right now, there's no place in the world we can't go with technology that has some device to receive it. There's over 6 billion people. And I would suggest that most need to know the greatness of our God. His word, his love, his grace, his forgiveness. We're committed. However, God can help us to bring this gospel message. You'll notice in verses 46 and 47, as it explains that Jesus said, it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance, notice that, repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So how do we deliver the gospel message? It's you and it's me. We're his witnesses. You know, there's a pretty nice car out there. It has three initials. B, M, and what's the last one? W, right? Okay. Maybe that could mean from now on, be my witness, okay? Be my witness. Why don't you drive that for a while? Be my witness. Be my witness. Jesus says, all authority has been given to me on heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all people. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things I commanded you. I'm with you always. We're called to be his witnesses. Hey, was Duck Dynasty an interesting controversy? I've never seen the show, so sorry. But I pay attention to what's going on. I love to listen. I love to listen to what people have to say. I love to see, especially when you're coming into my turf, in terms of when you're starting to talk about what God's word says, then I'm going to be involved. I want God to be represented. I want his word to be represented. We record everything. If I ever say anything that is not true, if I'm ever less than loving, less than graceful, I'm accountable to him and to you. But I just kind of been thinking about this whole thing. And this is a major money-making show on a cable network, but the major cable news network, with one of their main speaker, O'Reilly, had this to say, I quote, he says, if you adhere to the Christian philosophy, you know that Jesus was quite clear. This is a quote. All judgments about the consequences of sin are to be made by God and God alone. We're all sinners. And because of that, the Gospel of Luke 6:37 mandates that Christian human beings refrain from judging others. Again, that's God's prerogative. That's his quote. But let me just say, the reason he has a show is because his show is judging all kinds of things that are going on in the world. You can't be fair and balanced if you're not making judgments. Now, true, only Jesus will determine our eternal destiny. Only Jesus. That's his call. But listen, Jesus, as he says here, all or mandates, nothing could be further from the truth. When Jesus speaks about judging, he says, as you judge, so it will be measured back to you. My friends, we make judgments all the time. Of course we do. Listen, if everybody was obedient, my life would be wonderfully easy, okay? But the ministry, as you're aware of, the ministry and the work that God's called us to and the work of the church, you're dealing with people, with decisions, with choices that they made. And listen, you're dealing with the consequences of those choices. And so it's very clear. You cannot present the gospel without presenting the reality of hell. Hell is the reality, and that's why the gospel is good news. So to say to somebody, listen, there's no consequences for your sin, that's a lie. There are eternal consequences for your sin. It's either heaven or hell. There's a reality that is there. That's the gospel message. That's the good news. And when you go through and Obviously, I'm not going to do this for you right now, but just in my own mind and thinking, I just went through scriptures that I'm familiar with, just off of my mind that deal in this area. As a matter of fact, one of the great things that Jesus says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever loves him won't perish but have everlasting life. And this is the condemnation that has come into the world, that men love darkness rather than light. He sets it all up. He says that there is a consequence. And he wants to save us from that. And as a pastor and as parents and as men and women, as believers, we're trying to help people understand God's way, God's word, God's choices. God's choices are a blessing for us. And they help us and they keep us. Well, what about that spirit-filled life? Where's that fit into things? Well, verse 49, it tells us, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but to tarry in the city of Jerusalem, and you'll be endured with power from on high. He's speaking about the Holy Spirit. How do you live a spirit-filled life? Verse 50 says, Jesus, he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands, and he blessed them. They received that blessing. How do you receive it? You receive it in faith. That's how you experience that. Ephesians 5:18 says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Can't do it without the Holy Spirit of God. There's one more point we want to make here, and it is found in our final scripture here. We're talking about his will for 2:14. We want to stay continually in worship, prayer, and service. We need to be together as a body of believers. It's a continual part of our life, worship, prayer, and service. They worshiped him. The last two verses, they returned to Jerusalem. They had great joy. They were continually in the temple. They were praising and blessing God. So how do you stay continually in worship and prayer? Well, Acts tells us that they continued steadfastly in the word of God, which would be the apostles' doctrine. They were together in fellowship. They had communion and they prayed together. I trust that's what we're doing. And again, just looking at this real quickly, it says, I say, I hope we experience the resurrected life this year of faith more than ever, that our walk in fellowship with Jesus would move ahead in a way it never has. Our hearts would burn for his word, so much so that we begin to give out the gospel truth as often as God opens a door. We would be filled with his Holy Spirit, and we would worship, pray, and serve. Now, this is a picture of Randy. He never knew I took it. It's actually in our Monday night prayer meeting that is very quiet, silent, and reverent. But I had my iPhone with me. So I just, as he was praying out loud, I just put it on because I wanted to capture his voice. And I want to keep it. That's why. Because I love his love for God. And you know, what's part of this little 20 second is he's praying that people's hearts would be soft and open. That's what he's praying. As one of our elders, he held fast to the word of God. And he began to write some things, and he didn't complete it, but he wrote some things he thought he wanted to have a Sunday to encourage us from up front. But I've captured it here. This is what he wrote. These are his words. He says, for us as a fellowship here that we serve a jealous God, we're not legalistic. But we are to come before our beloved Lord, fervently preparing our hearts before entering the sanctuary for a joyous time of worship. And on Saturdays, as we would meet for our study, then pray at the end, we meet from 8 to 9, as we would pray, that would be a heartfelt prayer. He'd be praying for you, Isaac, and the worship team, for the children's ministry back there, and just the preparation that as people would come in the morning here, there'd be people, all of us, we would have spent some time with God. We would just thank God. We'd be praying for those that are serving. In other words, his encouragement for our fellowship is that we would grow spiritually and mature in the sense of readiness when we come here. Ready to receive, ready to worship, coming with a fullness of heart. Regarding ministry, this is what Randy wrote. He says, of course, I'm not going to be here to help Lola, but it brings to mind a service I think would be helpful to help her and others out in need in the church. It would be my desire that some of this list can be put together that shows everyone's abilities and experiences, ways that they can help others, like maybe a plumber, electrician, a handyman, those types of things. Now, I'm not expecting that these would be free services, but just the knowledge of where someone can turn to and trust in a time of need. So he's looking ahead and he's realizing, you know what? My wife is going to need some support. I've provided for her, and our body's a wonderful, gracious fellowship. But he's looking ahead and thinking of other practical ways as a fellowship. You know, as we start the new year, our Monday night equipping night, the first night will be on prayer. Not this Monday, the first Monday of the new year will be prayer. The emphasis on that Monday night will be people that say, you know, I want to grow in prayer. I want to be more diligent in prayer. So it's not necessarily a prayer meeting. It's how God might use those with a heart of prayer to become more effective and fruitful, lifting up our fellowship, praying for needs, praying for missionaries. The second Monday night will be worship. The third will be helps. The fourth will be missions in January. We'll do more in February. But those will be the emphasis. We can become stronger and more fruitful in those areas. And then finally, Randy was speaking about service. Again, this is what he wrote. I just put it down right off of his email. We have amazing leadership here in the group of volunteers that serve our body. Please don't let a few be the ones that do the work. No matter what your age, continue to look for ways to serve in whatever your capacity and strength. We're never too old to serve our Father. Amen. I like that. So, some things here just to keep in mind. What's going to happen? How can we be encouraged as we move ahead in 2:14? I gave some things right out of the scriptures. Well, we need God's word. So we're going to be moving into the Gospel of John. January 1st, if you haven't subscribed to our daily discipleship living, you could do that online. Every day I write a discipleship living. I write a little Bible study that can coincides with where we're studying. So we're going to go through John. We're going to study John on Sunday mornings. But then Route 66, there's 66 books in the Bible. By the grace of God, that's going to be where we travel on Wednesday nights. And you'll be able to get an outline, a survey of that. Also, it's just like, what else? Well, there's lots of things. The work of the ministry, I told you. Prayer, worship, helps, missions. Those are going to be on Monday night. This is to strengthen the body of Christ to become better equipped. What else? As I said last week, no one needs to be alone here. If you're alone, I want to meet with you. I don't know what the situation is, but you could just be on the very verge of just not really wanting to live anymore. I want to help you. We want to help you. We want to see God bring healing and hope and encouragement. We don't want you to be isolated. There's other people that can stand with you, walk with you, pray with you. There's different things that happen outside of Sunday. People say, well, what about your church? What's the size of your church and all these things? Listen, as your pastor, Monday through Saturday are the days I care the most. Not that I don't care on Sunday, but I care about our body. What's going on? What's happening in people's lives? Are we ministering? Are we caring? Are we serving? Are we loving? Are we praying? We have this new app. Some of you, have you enjoyed it so far? Yes, yes, yes. I think more people need to get it, okay? So let's just give you just a real quick thing. If you went to, on the app, this one here at the very top, it says Bible. If you push the little button that says Bible, right now, there's 5-6 different versions. And if you choose one that has the audio, what could happen is this. All of a sudden, you could be listening to the audio of Genesis 1. The audio is going to follow the text so you can be looking at it. Because sometimes you say you're going to read a chapter. You get down to the 5 verses. And then all of a sudden you go, man, I wonder if this, what's happening? You know, what, you get distracted. Okay, so this could help you. So you can listen to it. You can follow it, and then you'll notice also there's a personal reading plan. If you hit that, you can develop a reading plan to help you
go through the Bible in a way that you would like to go through it. It's fantastic. All this is free. It's a blessing. It's what we've used the resources of our ministry to build the body of Christ and to get the word out. So his will in 2:14 coming to an end here. Are you willing? Are you? I'm willing. Are you willing? Let's stand. Let's worship the Lord for this last song. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful just to be together, this fellowship of believers, this family that you've given to us. We thank you so much for Randy and for Lola. Thank you, God, for her continual love, the way, Lord, that she encourages many even during this time. May you continue to be her strength. May you continue to show us how to come alongside and strengthen her. We pray for this coming Saturday as we celebrate his life right here at 1 o'clock, that your presence would be with us. The God of all comfort and the joy and the hope and the love of God with us. We pray for this week and all that would lead up to it. Just the greatness of your love would be poured out upon the family and the friends and our fellowship. We love you, Lord. It's not a bunch of rules, regulations, or resolutions. It's you we need. May you become stronger in our lives and in our hearts this next year. Help us, Lord, to be willing to do your will and not ours. In Jesus' name, amen.